Hello friends, welcome again to V School. We are on chapter 4, Agri Price Risk Management. The chapter 4 is on Agri Commodities Markets. We saw different chapters, right from agriculture at a glance, the pricing, the various challenges that are faced by farmers, the government incentives, the World Trade Agreement, and now it's the time to understand what are Agri Commodities Markets. The main objectives of this chapter is to understand various types of agri-commodities markets. And when we say various types of agri-commodities markets, we'll understand it right from the evolution of agri-commodities markets. Agri-commodities markets are as old as civilization. So what we are seeing today are just the modern forms. But if we understand what exactly happens at a commodity exchange, we can easily trace back to the ancient civilizations and confirm ourselves that such type of concept was already existing since then. This chapter will give you details about the evolution of commodity markets in India post-independence with the help of recommendations made by various expert committees. So in this chapter, we are also going to understand which committees gave what recommendations to the government and based on that, what improvements were actually implemented. Finally, it will bring out the reasons of making SEBI the sole regulator of commodity markets. Like we saw, the Forward Market Commission has been merged into SEBI. So what were the reasons and what initiatives SEBI have taken for the growth and development of the commodities market? That also we'll see at the end of this chapter. And SEBI has done wonderful changes in the commodities market arena. So friends, let's begin with commodity market. Why do we say commodity market is as old as civilization itself? Because history gives us traces of existence of commodity markets in Sumer. And when we talk about Sumer, this era dates back between 4500 and 4000 BCE. When we talk about Sumer, this is a part of what we call it as a modern day Iraq. So since then, the commodity markets were in existence as per the history. History makes mentions of which type of commodities were exchanged. These commodities were in the form of the clay tokens, the goats, the pigs, the seashells, the grains, etc. Basically, this was considered as commodities monies. Over a period of time, gold and silver merged as a preference medium of exchange to pay for buying of commodities. Metallic coins and other scales soon emerged with the invention of weight measures. So, on one side, we see existence of commodity markets since 4500 BCE. On the other side, we also see the unit of money was existing based on what value they considered for those objects of money. Right from the goats, seashells, grains, etc. to the gold and finally to the metallic coins. Next important milestone we see in the 14th century when the stock exchanges emerged. It is considered that Amsterdam Stock Exchange is believed to be the world's first stock exchange established in 1530. With urbanization and growth in cities, more commodity exchanges emerged in 1500 to 1600. We have Chicago Board of Trade in America to be established in 1864. Commodities such as the wheat, corn, cattle, pigs were traded on the seaboard. New commodities such as rice, millfish, butter, egg, soybeans and potatoes could be traded on the seaboard with the enactment of the Commodities Exchange Act in America. Seaboard is believed to be the world's oldest futures and options exchange. Commodity exchanges emerged in various cities of America during the 20th century. So I said various commodity exchanges emerged across the globe, and here is your list which is specializing in a specific type of commodities. Like we have the agricultural commodities exchanges for Africa in the form of for trading agricultural commodities, Chicago Board of Trade for trading grains, treasuries, equity index metals, agricultural futures exchange of Thailand dealing with agricultural commodities, Tokyo Commodity Exchange dealing with energy, precious metals, industrial metals and agricultural commodities, Australian Securities Exchange dealing with agricultural, energy, interest and rate futures, as well as the Manila Commodity Exchange, base metals, agricultural, energy and currency. These are only few of them. A lot, many others has been given in your book for reference. Now let us understand commodity markets and commodity trading, how it underwent a huge transformation. And this huge transformation was possible because of the technology disruption supported by the internet and the online services in the 21st century. Commodity markets and commodity trading underwent a huge transformation with introduction of online screen-based trading, because that actually imported in a big confidence between the traders. When there were no online screen trading, there was always a dilemma between the buyer and the seller, the broker, as to what exactly the deal was. But the online screen-based trading boosted the confidence of every trader. They came to know exactly what exactly the trade they have entered into. And this brought into different types of traders, speculators, investors into the commodity trading business. Modern commodity exchanges have made a comprehensive list of commodities, and this can be traded on commodities exchanges. Various countries have enacted various legislations for defining what commodity can be traded and what should be the definition of a commodity. We have a comprehensive list of commodities which can be grouped into these categories, like agriculture, which includes your rice, your wheat, maize, oats, chana, etc. The livestock, which can have hogs, the pork bellies, live cattle. We have energy, which includes the crude oil, ethanol, natural gas, etc. We have the precious metals, which includes the gold, platinum, palladium, silver. Industrial metals includes aluminium, steel, copper. Financial derivatives can be in the form of stock indexes, currencies. Your soft commodities can be sugar, cocoa, coffee. Spices can be pepper, turmeric, jeera, coriander. Oilseeds can be castor seed, mustard seed, refined soil, crude palm oil, etc. Fibers can be cotton, pulp, can be lumber and rubber. So this is just a list which can be grouped. One can have different types of groupings based on what type of commodities that is included in that groups. Commodity prices are volatile because economic conditions changes over a period of time. There will be always increasing decrease in supply, and this gives rise to the volatility. Commodity prices are volatile and can be affected by different reasons, such as climate change, natural disasters, epidemic. We are seeing the recent coronavirus that can also influence the commodity prices worldwide. We have demand of consumers, we have supply chain mechanics, etc., etc. So various factors which are seen today, which can come in the future, could be responsible for the volatility of the commodity prices. In order to deal with the hedge and deal with this volatility and hedge risk in commodities, traders use different types of derivative contracts, which can be in the form of a forward contract, which can be a futures contract, which can even be an options contract. Evolution of commodity exchanges has enabled the traders to do their trading, has enabled new types of price discovery mechanisms, has built in efficiencies into the system. It is believed that commodity trading in India started many years before than it started in other countries. We have examples of various commodity exchanges covering several commodities, such as the cotton, the jute, the oil seeds, the groundnuts, the wheat, the rice, the sugar, silver and gold existed at various locations in the country. You will find various references of this in the book. The commodity business then could not grow, survive due to existence under foreign rule for several years. During the Second World War, the British government enforced the Defense of India Act 1943, under which trading in majority of commodities were prohibited in order to control the prices and to recover from the deteriorations of the economies and the market. This is just a timeline which establishes the fact that commodity trading indeed existed in India much before other countries also. So what happened after independence? After independence, the stock exchange and futures markets were placed in the union list, so which means the control with the central government. Central government was vested with the powers on making regulations on the stock exchanges and the futures markets. The Forward Contract Regulation Act 1952 was enacted to regulate the commodities contracts in India. It prohibited options trading in goods along with cash settlement of forward trades. In the 1960s, there were defaults in the forward trades due to the droughts. Commodity options trading and cash settlement of commodities futures were banned in India due to the fear of speculation activities. And this was the phase wherein a government was in a dilemma on whether to allow trading into commodities after its banning. So they took a long time to decide, and finally government decided to appoint various committees from time to time to carve out a clearer picture on trading in commodities, because one expert opinion was required to understand what was the situation and whether it was right from the economic improvement point of view to introduce trading into commodities or not. So we had different committees appointed by government, and based on that they gave their own recommendations which were useful, some of them were even implemented by the government. The first committee we have in the form of Sri A.D. Shroff Committee. The main responsibility assigned to them was to scrutinize and submit report on the futures market, as well as to suggest the model rules for preventing and curbing the possibility or possible abuses in the futures market. Their main recommendations came in the form of introduction of forward trading in order to help in hedging, price stabilization and reduce speculation. So they were very much in pro of introducing the forward trading, especially to help into hedging, especially to help into price stabilization, especially to reduce the speculation. The second recommendation they gave was to establish trading rules and regulations approved and management government, so that a private party won't play with it, won't play mischief with the existing systems. The next in line was the Professor M.L. Danthwala Committee of 1966. Their responsibility was to review the working of the Forward Markets Commission and assess the role of forward markets in the future based on the economic conditions. And they also gave a wonderful recommendation. They recognized the benefits of commodity trading. So there was in principle acceptance that commodity trading was essential. However, its recommendations were ignored and the banning process continued till the 70s. Government was still trying to figure out a clearer and clearer opinion before taking a decision to reintroduce the tradings. Then we had Professor A. M. Khosrow Committee of 79. Responsibility was to review the role of forward trading in the changed economic conditions and the market distribution system. Another responsibility was to suggest how forward trading can help in maintaining the prices within the reasonable limits and promote of exports. They gave two main recommendations. The first one was introduction of future tradings in most of the major commodities, namely cotton, raw jute, etc. And this was a major recommendation to introduce futures trading into specific commodities. Another recommendation was introduction of futures trading in other commodities which were generally not considered for futures trading, and this included the potatoes, the onions, etc. So this was another big boost for government to think about introducing futures trading. Then came the Professor K. N. Kabra Committee in 93. Their responsibility was to examine the role of futures trading in post the waves of liberalization and globalization impacting India, because 1990s saw ushering of new era because of the liberalization, privatization and the globalization concepts sweeping across the globe. And this was a situation which needs to be studied properly, and that was the reason Professor K. N. Kabra Committee was constituted. Their recommendation was to strengthen the Forward Market Commission and the Forward Contracts Act 1952 by means of various measures. Number one, to improve infrastructure, telecommunication, functioning of exchanges, provide norms, automation of trading in exchanges, regulations to design and trade of futures contract, as well as establishing a strong vigilance so that no misdoings can happen, it can be detected, it can be prevented, it can be curated also. Next, we had another committee, Dr. L.C. Gupta Committee of 96. Their responsibility was to develop a regulatory framework for derivatives trading in India. They also gave an important recommendation stating that existing stock exchanges having a cash trading in the derivatives contract to a separate segment with separate membership. So they permitted existing stock exchanges having cash trading to trade in derivatives contracts through a separate segment with separate membership. Next committee we had in the form of Professor J.R. Verma Committee of 1998. The responsibility was to recommend measures for risk containment in the derivatives market to be followed by all exchanges and to inter alia review the recommendations which were given by the earlier committee, that is Dr. L.C. Gupta Committee, in the present context, means during that period when the committee was appointed. They also gave a very important recommendation in its report, Development and Regulation of Derivatives Market in India. More details are given in your book. So overall, we saw government was getting more and more clarity through different committees, which were unanimously stating the importance of introducing futures trading. And finally, government lifted the 3-decade-old prohibition on forward trading. And this happened on March 1, 2000. Government lifted a 3-decade-old ban on forward trading in securities by rescinding the 1969 notification. Derivatives trading formally commenced in June 2000 on two major stock exchanges, that is BSE and NSE. And during post-financial crisis in 2008, Indian commodity market witnessed an exponential growth in their trading volumes due to switchover from the equity markets. And this started the beginning of this particular futures trading into India. Then we had various exchanges that were established at the national level. National level multi-commodity exchange took birth, the first one in 2003, in order to develop and grow the commodity futures trading in India. And if we have to take a snapshot of the current times, in the present times, we have 5 national commodity exchanges in the form of multi-commodity exchange, in the form of National Commodities and Derivatives Exchange, in the form of Indian Commodity Exchange, in the form of National Stock Exchange, in the form of Bombay Stock Exchange. And all these commodity exchanges are regulated by none other than Securities and Exchange Board of India, popularly known as SEBI. And for giving more power at the central level, government decided to merge the then regulator in the form of the Forward Markets Commission into SEBI so that a central control will be established across all these major national commodities. The Forward Markets Commission was regulating the trading of derivatives contracts of agriculture and metal commodities. This FMC was merged into SEBI in October 2015 by the Government of India. And thus, SEBI gets exclusive powers on entire capital market as well as the derivatives segment. However, SEBI is controlled by Ministry of Finance, Department of Economic Affairs, Government of India. So overall control lies with government also. So what has SEBI done? SEBI has done a fantastic work. SEBI's contribution to the growth of commodities has been phenomenal because they have made excellent use of the centralized power given to them for controlling and growing the commodities market. SEBI has continued to further the reforms which were existing, support and deepen the commodity derivatives markets through various initiatives. They have expanded the futures into more commodities. They have introduced the commodity options. They have permitted Category 3 AIFs to participate in commodity derivatives trading. And more recently, SEBI has also permitted setting up of the universal exchange. When you talk about universal exchanges, this is a new concept that is introduced in India. Universal exchanges are enabled to trade into commodity derivatives as well as other exchanges. So both the commodities as well as the equity can be together traded under one umbrella, which we call this as a universal exchange. SEBI has been undertaking measures to create more and more awareness about the commodity derivatives trading into Indian market. So both the existing trading in the form of equity and debt has been growing along with the commodity segment also. So overall, the growth of the entire markets are happening in a nice manner. SIB is also actually participating in several conferences, because when a regulator is appointed, it not only regulates on the basis of its own knowledge, there is always an exchange between the knowledge of regulators from across the globe. So when there is an exchange of information through conferences, we exchange our expertise to other regulators. At the same time, other regulators share their expertise with us, and overall, a proper control, an excellent control is established over the entire markets. SEBI participates in several conferences and symposiums organized by international organizations like the IOSCO, the OECD, to share its experiences in the areas of financial education, investor education, and a lot many other things, and also draws experiences from other regulators. So perfect exchange happens between regulators across the globe. Such initiatives promote facilitation of international cooperation between the policy makers and the stakeholders for financial education initiatives worldwide. So ultimately, the benefit reaches everyone across the globe, and it ultimately results into the growth and the development of different types of markets. Then we also have something called the United Nations Conference on the Trade and Development, popularly known as the UNCTAD. The United Nations Conference on Trade and Development Study Group on Emerging Commodity Exchanges, comprising of leading exchanges from 5 developing countries. India is also a part of this. Other countries include Brazil, China, Malaysia, and South Africa. This has been formed to raise awareness about the role and performance of the emerging commodity exchanges, to share experience and perspectives, to promote innovative practice, and to foster the South-South dialogue. Then we also have an apex body in the form of IOSCO, which is known as the International Organization of Securities Commission. The IOSCO is an international body that brings together world securities regulators and is recognized as a global standard setter for the securities sector. And SEBI is also one important contributor to this. IOSCO develops, implements, and promotes adherence to internationally recognized standards for securities regulation. So worldwide, all regulators can be acquainted, can be knowing about what are the best practices, and based on that, the best that suits their country can be implemented. So friends, with this, we complete our chapter 4, and now we are ready to move into chapter 5 and 6. Chapter 5 is going to talk about different types of Indian commodity exchanges, and chapter 6 is going to talk about the global commodity exchanges. So this will go very well with what we have done, markets with the commodity exchanges. Thank you.